Okay, we're starting here at the bottom of Kuf Gimel Amud Bet. We're continuing what we started yesterday, which was that Rabbi Yochanan de Amar, Rabbi Yochanan himself, said about the food or meals, what it can do to an individual. So he gave a list of items or a list of outcomes from meals. One is Merachechet et HaKrovim, it distances those that are close by. Umikarevet et HaRechukim, brings close those that are distanced. Umalemet einayim min harishayim, it causes Hashem to not look at the evil of those that are bad. Umashresh shechina nevi'ei baal, causes the shechina to come out to nevi'im who are not necessarily nevi'ei emet. V'shigirato olo zadon, and a mistake in this area ends up being something that is disastrous. So number one, merachekat de krovim. How do we know that it distanced those that are karov? That we know, mimamon umoav. So that was the previous, similar to the previous statement that Rabbi Yochanan said in name Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma, that it caused two mishpachot to be distanced from Israel. Ashlo kidmu etchem, right, balechem uvamayim. Since they didn't do achnas d'orchim, since they did not provide you food when we left Mitzrayim, our cousins, Amon umoav, are therefore precluded from joining into the kahal. Umikarevet et rechukim, it brings close those that are at distance. That we know, mi yitro, that comes from Yitro. Da'amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'schar, karenu lo v'yochal lechem. Here Yitro tells his daughters to call to Moshe, tell Moshe, come over, and he should eat by us. After he saved them by the well, how come you left him over here? Tell him to come over. Zochu b'nei b'nav yashvu b'lishkat ha-gazit. Right, the descendants of Yitro end up sitting in the lishkat ha-gazit, meaning being part of the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. How do we know that? Shenemar, because it says in Divrei Yomim, here where it's listing off in the descendants of Yehuda, it says, Umi Mishpachot Sofrim. Right, so from those that were Mishpachot Sofrim, Yoshvei Yavatz, Ti Atim, Shim Atim, and Suchatim, with the, not with the Samach, but with the Sin, Hema Akinim, Habaim Achmat Avi Beit Rechav. These individuals who were the Sofrim, right, who are these individuals, important individuals, part of the Sanhedrin, they are from the Kinim, the Keni, who come from Avi Beit Rechav, that come from the father of Beit Rechav, Uchtivatam, and we know by Yitro it says, Uvnei Keni Chotein Moshe, so that Yitro was also known as a Keni, so we're talking about the Kinim, we're talking about Chotein Moshe, we're talking about Yitro. We also know that Rechav is also used, Rechav is also used as a term for Yitro. So it's Avi Beit Rechav. And Chotein Alu Meir Atamrim Et Bnei Yehuda Midbar Yehuda Shebenegev Arad Vayelech Vayishev Et Am. We see that Bnei Yitro are called Bnei Keni, or they call the Bnei Rechav. And therefore, when we're talking about Umishpechot HaSofrim, those that were the Sofrim, those that were part of the Anshe Knesset HaGdolah, those that are part of the Beit Din HaGadol, they're from the Bnei Keini, who is Yitro. So the Zchut of the Achnas Verochim that he did with Moshe Rabbeinu, his descendants are Zochet to be a part of the Beit Din HaGadol. And Rashi also quotes a pasuk from Yirmiyahu that we've seen before, which is that since you listen to the commander, your father Yehonadav, right, and then lo yachrit ish Yehonadav ben Rechav. So over there it's Yehonadav ben Rechav, again over here, omeid lifnei kol yamim, that stand before me all these years. So again, the term Rechav, bnei Rechav, are also individuals who are before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So from both the side of Keni and the side of Beit Rechav, we see that there were individuals who were sofrim, Omdim lifnei Hashem, that they were serving in Lishkat HaGazit, and that was because of the zchut that Yitro has from being Machnis Orchim by Moshe Rabbeinu. Umalemet einayim min Rishayim, it causes Hashem to ignore the actions of the Rishayim, mimicha. That we already know, that's what we saw yesterday, is daf that from Micha. The fact that he provided Achnasat Orchim protected him despite the fact that he had institutionalized the Avodah Zarah in Klal Yisrael. Umashresh shechina al nevi'ei habaal. So where do we know that it causes the Nevi'ei Sheker to actually get real Nivuah? That we know from Chaveiro Shel Ido Navi, when the friend of Ido Navi wasn't really a good friend of his, really wasn't a friend at all, but he was an individual who caused a lot of trouble for Ido Navi, and even there the Pasuk doesn't tell us that it was Ido Navi. They were sitting at the table, the word of Hashem came to Navi to say, Shivo, that had brought him back, that had stopped him. So here, Ido HaNavi goes to Yeravam ben Nevat.
he has a nevuah from him, basically, that Hashem says to him, go speak to Yerobam ben Nevat, and then you must leave right away. Do not stay in the city, do not eat by anybody, and do not go back the way that you came. So he goes, speaks to Yerobam. Yerobam's arm is, you know, suspended, stopped, turned to stone, and then Yerobam asks for the Navi to daven on his behalf. He goes, and he davens on his behalf. His arm goes back to being normal. The Melech invites over the Navi to come and eat by him. He says, I can't, because Hashem said to me, do not eat here, do not stop here, go, don't come from the way that you're going. So one of the children of this Zakin that had been in the area went home and told his father about this. So his father goes out, saddles his donkey, and he goes to meet Ido as he's leaving the city. When Ido's leaving the city, he says to him, listen, why don't you come over and eat by me? Ido says, I can't. I have this nevuah that I'm not allowed to. He goes, I'm a Navi also. I'm a Navi also, and I got a message from Hashem that you're supposed to come with me. So Ido listens to him, goes ahead and eats by him, and in the middle of the meal, the Navi Sheker will go home, and Navi Sheker, the Zekain, gets a nevuah in the middle of the meal. So someone who was not normally, it wasn't a Navi of Hashem, it was a individual, of course, who's causing, he knows that Ido is going to get into trouble for this, and he on purpose lies to him to bring him here. In the middle of the meal, he gets a nevuah telling Ido that, Yan lo shemata migalik, since you didn't listen to what I said, you will not be brought to the Kivrei Avotecha. And sure enough, he leaves this individual's house, and he's eaten by a lion, and his body is sitting, and the lion is standing next to the body on the road, and his body's mushlach there, and the came true, the nevuah that was came. So here you have, because of the achnasat ochim, he took Ido in, he fed him a meal. Because if he fed him a meal, he got nevuah from Hashem. It was a Navi Sheker, it was a Navi Abal. And he gets nevuah, right, obviously to the detriment of Ido, but because of the actions that he took, he was able to get the nevuah. Alright, the next case is v'shigagata ole zadon, and then a mistake in it, in not doing, or not providing achnasat ochim, or for someone who's in need, ends up in a disastrous ending. And that is, Damir Yehuda Marav, Il Malei, Hilvo, Yehonatan David, Shteki Karol Lechem. If Yehonatan had just given David Leviah here, not Lent, but Leviah, that he had just given him bread when he left him, had he given him two loaves of bread when he left him, then Lo Ne'erga Novi'ir Akonim, Novi'ir Akonim would have been destroyed, Lo Ne'erga Do'ega Domid, Do'ega Domid would have ended up in a position where he loses his Olam Haba, Lo Ne'erag Sha'ul U'Shlosh Barav, and Sha'ul and his three children would not have been killed. So these are all, again, a series of events that happened. David doesn't have anything to eat, so he goes to Novi'ir Akonim, he begs Achimelech for food from the the Lechem HaPanim, Achimelech gives it to him, Do'ega Domid is there, goes and tells Sha'ul about it. Then Shaul tells Doeg to go kill out all the Kohanim, and that's what Doeg does. And because of that, Shaul Banav, because he killed out all the Kohanim, are killed on the battlefield afterwards. So all of these bad things that happened were all a result of the fact that David didn't have food. Said Yonatan, just simply giving David a little food, a Livia, taking care of him, none of this would have happened. So again, it wasn't, he didn't intentionally, it was just, he didn't think about it, he didn't consider it. But Shigato Olez Adon ends up in a, not taking care of it ends up in a disaster ending. And that's, again, by Yegla Rufa, we say a similar type of idea. The Ziknei Ayir come and say that we didn't do this, right? That we didn't do this. Of course, they didn't do this, so the Gemara Darshans, Rashi brings the Midrash there, that we didn't leave him without Leviyah. We didn't put him in a position where he needed to be Balastem et Abriot to get his food. We gave him all that he needed. That's what the Zakenim are saying. We provided for him so that nothing bad would come out of the situation. That's why they say Naki. Over here, Yonatan doesn't provide for David and ends up in a very, very bad situation. All right, now the Gemara asks, "Umipnei ma lo manu et Achaz? Why wasn't Achaz counted amongst those kings that don't get Olam Haba?" Achaz, we mentioned before, was a did some awful things. He was also one of the individuals in the list of kings where it says, "Vayasu b'nei Hashem," that they did horrible things. So why isn't he counted? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabba Pnei Mutal Ben Shnei Tzadikim, because he is between two Tzadikim. His father was Yotam, and his son was Chizkiyahu. So since his father was Yotam, his son was Chizkiyahu, he was protected. Yosef Amar Mivnei Shehelo Boshet Panim Mishayahu. And actually, the reason that he saved is because he was embarrassed in front of Yishayahu. Shnemar says Yomar Hashem El Yishayahu Tzei Na Likrat Achaz. Ata v'shar yashuv b'necha. Go out and greet Achaz, you and your son, Shar Yashuv.
El Kze Talat HaBrechal Yona, by the channel of the upper pool. El Mistila, through the path of Steak Koves, of the field of the Koves, the field of launderers. My Koves? What does it mean, launderers? Ige de Amrei, some that say, de Kavshinu Lape, Vichalaf. And when he saw Yeshayahu coming, he covered his face, he turned himself away, because he was so embarrassed about what he was doing in front of Yeshayahu. Some say that he took the beating board of the launderers and he put it and placed it on his head and turned away because of the embarrassment that he had in front of Yeshayahu. So because of this, that's what protected Achaz. Either he had zchut because his father and his son were tzaddikim, or because of the fact that he had embarrassment, he had some busha lifnei Yeshayahu, almost a sense of kavod for Yeshayahu. That's what protected him, and that's why he didn't lose his olam haba. So, mipnei ma lo manu et amon. Why don't they count amon amongst those that does not get olam haba? Nikvodo shel Yoshiyahu, because of his son Yoshiyahu. So, Gemara says, Menashe lo nimnei b'din kvodo shel Chizkiyahu. That's the case. Why is it Menashe protected by his father Chizkiyahu? So, just to remind you that the Shoshelet goes like this. There's Yotam, then Achaz, then Chizkiyahu, then Menashe, then Amon, then Yoshiyahu. And then after Yoshiyahu, three of his sons rule, not in order. They have Yoachaz, you have Yoyakim, and Tzidkiyahu all rule. After that, then you have Yoyachin, the son of Yoyakim, that rule. So if you think about this, you have Yotam, who's a tzaddik. You have Achaz, who's a rasha. Chizkiyahu, who's a tzaddik. Then you have Menashe and Amon, who are both rishayim. And then Yoshiyahu, who's a tzaddik. So the Gemara wants to know, of Achaz, Menashe and Amon, out of those three, only Menashe is deemed, right, to have no olam haba. What happened to Achaz and Amon? So Gemara says Achaz is protected by his father Yotam and his son Chizkiyahu, and Amon is protected by Yoshiyahu's son. So Gemara says, Menashe, why isn't he protected by his father Chizkiyahu? So here the Gemara answers, Menashe nami lo nimnei pnei kvodo shel Chizkiyahu, bra mezake abba, abba lo mezake bra, dechtiv ve'ein miyadi matzio. So that a son gives chuyot to a parent, or a child gives chuyot to a parent does not give chuyot to a child. Can't protect the children, but the children are a schut for the av, and that's actually there also by Egla Rufa. It says, Kaper now am cho Yisrael, asher padita, and then the Midrash over there says that the ben is mezakeh et av. That when it comes to a father who passes away, a ben, when he is mekadesh shem shemayim, is mezakeh the av, gives chuyot to the av in the kever. So it says, minayin shachayim podim et emetim. How do you know those that are alive can redeem those that are passed away already? And there again, the example is of a child towards a father. And that's why, for instance, a child says kaddish after a parent has passed away in order to be mekadesh shem shemayim. And by the kiddush Hashem, that will provide a schut for the father. So it's over here. The children can provide schuyot for the fathers, but the fathers can't provide schuyot for the children. So that's why Chizkiyahu cannot protect his son Menashe. On the other hand, Achaz had a son, a tzaddik, Chizkiyahu protected him. And Amon had a son, Yoshiyahu, was a tzaddik who protected him. So now, Gemara says, if that's, Ein Avraham Matzil et Ishmael, Vein Yitzchak Matzil et Esav. So what does it mean, Mayadi Matzil? Means that Avraham does not save Ishmael, his son, and Yitzchak cannot save his son, Esav. Hashtad ati lahochit. So now that we got to this point, Achaz nami. By Achaz also, you could say, Lohim ne mishum kvodo shel Chizkiyahu. Say that again, that Chizkiyahu is the one that protected Achaz. We don't have to suggest that the problem, the issue of whether it was, he was embarrassed by Yeshayahu, or whether it was also his father Yotam. And then the son is enough to protect him. Okay, when Pnei ma lo manu et Yoyakim, why do they count Yoshiyahu's son Yoyakim, who we discussed on yesterday's daf, was very evil. He says that those that perform it didn't know how to be Margiz Hashem. I'll show them how to be Margiz Hashem. And yet he's not those that are excluded are from Olam HaBa. Shum der b'chir ba'arvuya, dam der b'chir ba'arvuya, k'tiv al gugulato sheyokim, zot vod acheret. Punishment. He will suffer two embarrassments or two awful items after his death that will actually be a kapara for him. Since he had that kapara, he doesn't lose his Olam HaBa. And this is a gemara that we saw earlier on Pei Bet, Amud Aleph. It should be familiar. Zkeno, the Rabbi Pareda, right, the grandfather of, or the one of the ancestors of Rabbi Breda, Ashka Gugalto, Davi Koshadja Bashar Yerushalayim, he found a skull laying in the gateways to Yerushalayim. Chtiba Zot Vot Acheret, he saw on it written Zot, this and something else. Kavra Veloi Kavra. He buried it and it wouldn't stay buried. Kavra Veloi Kavra. Wouldn't stay buried, it popped up. Amar Gugalo Tosha Yakim, it has to be the skull of Yoyakim. Dichtibe Kvrat Chamor Yikaver. We buried like a donkey, Sachov, that is drawn by Ashleich and thrown out on the ground. So Amar Malkahu, he says, look, he's a king. Can't just let him lie around here. He won't be buried. So what do? Krachai Bishirai, Votva Bisifto. He went ahead and he wrapped it up in silk and he put it up in the sift, he put up in a chest up in his attic. Then, over here, the story, our story continues, it's like shortcutted our story, you got the summary version, but the version of Peitet is that, Atya Debitu, Chazita, his wife comes up and sees it, right, and then Amra Ola Shivata, she tells her neighbor about it, that she found the skull, what bad is, and her neighbor says to her, Savra Aitata Kamaita Ava, she says this is his first wife, Talo Kamanshila, he didn't forget her yet, and he's keeping her. So she was upset about this, Shagra Tanura, she got the furnace going, Vakalto, and she burnt up the skull inside the furnace, Hanukhtiv, Zot Votacherit, that he will suffer two indignities, one is that he will not be buried, number two is that he'll be scorched in a fire over here, and since he was punished with these two items, that provides a kapara for him that he will reach Olam Haba. Tanya, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Bishvil Vehatov Beinecha Siti Ma'ot, Bishvil Ma'ot Nachrim Achlu Ed Shulchano, Ubishvil Shinachrim Achlu Ed Shulchano, Gram Galut Banav. Okay, that's a series of incidents that take place with Chizkiyahu HaMelech. Chizkiyahu HaMelech says, when he's sick, deathly ill, he's on his deathbed, and Yishayahu comes and says, you're gonna die here and not survive, he turns to daven to Hashem. And he says to Hashem, as part of his tefillah, V'ato be'enecha siti, I did all the good things that I was supposed to do. He makes a claim about himself. He's a little bit of a, right, a little bit of a balgaiva about that. V'ato be'enecha siti, I did good in your eyes. So because of that, what happens? He trips himself up and he says, ma'ot. What is ma'ot? Ma'ot is subsequent to that. Yishayahu says to him, gets a nevuah and says, Chizkiyahu, you're going to survive because of the tefillah, because you were Shavel Hashem b'chol libcha, you're going to survive. So Chizkiyahu says to Yishayahu, what's the oath? Give me a sign that it's true. So that was not right of, here you have a Navi, he was telling him something in a vuah from Hashem, he says, give me a sign that it's going to be true. So because he was a little bit of a balgaiva before, where he says, v'to b'nechasite, it trips him up and says, give me a sign about whether it's going to happen. So Ma'os, so now because of he asked for a sign, which was wrong over here, therefore Nachrim achlu al shulchano, foreigners came and ate on his table. And that is that, what was the name? Is Baladim Bradach, who was the king of Babel at the time, sends down to Chizkiyahu messengers, asking, inquiring about his health, and sending him gifts. And Chizkiyahu is mikabelotam, he takes them in, and he shows them, we're going to see in a second, he shows them around the palace and all of his wealth and his riches, and he serves them on his table. So because he hosted these individuals and he treated them and he showed them all of his wealth, therefore he was punished with Shvil Shinachrim Achlu HaShulchano Garam Galut HaBanav. He ended up causing that his children went into Galut. We'll see that in a second. Again, the Gemara is going to go through this. Psaile the Chizkiyahu, this helps Chizkiyah. Damar Chizkiyah called Mezamein Ovid Kochvim Letoch Beito. Umishamesh Alav, someone who invites in a Ovid Kochvim into his house and serves him and takes care of him. Goreim Galut HaBanav causes Galut to his children. Shinemar, because it says, Umi banecha asher yitzu mimecha. It's again, that's missing the mem there. Umi banecha asher yitzu mimecha. Asher tolid, those that give you birth. Yikacho, they'll be taken away. Here he's referring to Melech Bavel. But you say, resim beichal Melech Bavel. And they become ministers or servants in the heichal of Melech Bavel. And it says, Vayismach alehem Chizkiyahu. Now here, there's two psukim. There's a pasuk in Yishayahu, there's a pasuk in Melachim. In Melachim, the pasuk starts, Vayishma Alehem Chizkiyahu. Pasuk in Yishayahu says, Vayismach Alehem Chizkiyahu. It's talking about the guests that were sent by the Melech Bavel to visit him, and he was excited about them. He listened, he heard them. Vayareim kol Vayareim et Beit Nichoto. He shows them at Kol Beit Nechoto or Beit Nechoto, depends whether it's Yishayahu or Melachim. In Melachim it says Kol, Yishayahu doesn't. Beit Nechoto is a house of We don't know. So after the Gemara is going to ask that. Hakesef, et hazav, the silver and his gold, v'et habsamim, and all the spices, v'et hashemen. Again, there's no hay there. It's v'et shemen. And the oil, hatov, hashemen hatov, and the good oil. So he showed him all of their, he showed him all his wealth and all his riches he showed to these guests. They're non-Jewish guests. Amarav, my beit nechoto. What is beit nechoto? Ishto ishkata alehem. That his wife serviced them or took care of them. Shmuel Amar, Beit Knezav, Beit Nechoto is his, you know, his treasury, his storehouses. He showed them everything. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Zino Chazin, Eralehem. He showed, something that eats something else. And Rashi says that Zino Chazin is Barzel. He showed them things like that. I don't know if it was his weapon storehouse or if it's, she says Barzel, some was a weapon that, I assume he showed them his weapon storehouse or something like that. He showed them where he kept all of his weapons. So he was showing off his munitions to these individuals. Because of this, Hashem says to him and says, because of that, your children will be taken by Melech Bavel. Not you, you will survive, but your children, your grandchildren will be taken away by Melech Bavel to service in his palace. So because of these Avera Goret Avera, Chizkiyah was a little bit of a Baal Gaiva. Because of that, he made a mistake and then asked for an oath. Because he asked for an oath, therefore these Nachrim came to his palace to visit him. And because he hosted these Nachrim on his Shulchan, he was then punished with that his Banav went into Galut. So this is almost the opposite of the stories before, where there was Chachnasat Orchim by evil people. They did Chachnasat Orchim for others, and therefore they're protected or something good happens. Over here you have Chizkiyah Melech, the tzaddik, who does Chachnasat Orchim for those that are evil, those they shouldn't have done it for, and therefore causes a Graim Galut Banav. So now the Gemara is going to actually darshan almost through the rest of the daf today. Is going to darshan the beginning of Eicha, which is Eicha Yoshva Vadad. So what does it mean Eicha Yoshva Vadad? How they sit now alone? Amar Rava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Pnei Malaku Yisrael BeEicha. Why were they hit with Eicha? Why is Eicha the kina that is said over this? Mivnei Shavru Al Shloshim V'Sheish Kvitot Shbetorah, because they violated the 36. Lota says in the Torah that are chayav karet, and Echa in Gematria is 36. So Echa is reflective of the limitation of Echa, is reflective of the fact that they violated the 36 kritot. Rabbi Yochanan Mibnei Laku ba'alef bet. How come Echa, which is written in a aleph bet, mean that all the psukim are written in a order of aleph bet, Mibnei Shavru ala Torah, should not be aleph bet, since they violated the Torah that was given in aleph bet, therefore they have kinot that are said about them be'alef bet. Yeshva Vadad. So that was Eicha. We explained the word Eicha. Now Yeshva Vadad. What does it mean that they sat alone? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Yamarti. I said about Bnei Yisrael, Yisrael, and Yisrael, Betach Vadad in Yaakov, Eretz Lagan V'Tirosh, Avsham Avyar Futal. So that they will sit alone. What does that mean? They will sit alone. They won't be afraid of the enemy. People will live. They won't have to live in large communities or in cities, in walled cities. They'll be able to live out in the middle of the mountains and not be fearful because they're protected. That's the bracha that Hashem gave them. Achshav, that'll be exchanged for badad moshavam, that they will be left alone, literally alone, right, in fear and without any help and dispersed over the nations. So therefore, the punishment of badad is connected to the Hashem was yishpia them tovav, the badad, and since they violated his mitzvot, and they didn't do what they were supposed to do, they're going to be punished with a badad, which is a negative badad. Hayir Rabati Am, right, the city that is full of people. Amar Rava, Amar Yochanan, Sheyu Masim Ktana LaGadol Gdola LaKatan. That in that time, why was it called Hayir Rabati Am? Why was it a city with tons of, with a large population? Because of the way they used to give. They used to have, Ktana, someone who was younger marry someone who was a little older. A woman who was younger marry a little older man. And the older woman would marry a younger man. Because they have lots of children. Rashi over here explains, that the older individual is more ra'ui to have children. Their zera's mitbashel has matured to the point where it can impregnate faster, and the older woman can receive the pregnancy or conceive easier. And therefore they took, what they did was instead of having young individuals marry each other, two young individuals, and have to wait for them to have children until they grew older, they used to put one mature individual and one slightly less mature individuals so that they have children right away. So that increased the population of Yerushalayim. So that's what it means, Ha'ir Rabbat Yam. It was a city that was teeming with individuals, that was full of children and full of peoples. So now, Haytak Almana. What does it mean now? The city that was Rabbat Yam is now like a widow. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Ka'almana V'lo Ka'alo Almana. It's like a widow, but not really a widow.
It's like a woman who is like living a living amanut, in the sense that her husband went to overseas, but he still intends to come back to her. So she's right now she's a widow, but eventually her husband will come back and she won't be a widow. So the same thing here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu left us, but he intends to come back. It's not, or the Jews left Yerushalayim, but we intend to come back to Yerushalayim. It's not a permanent point. It's not a widow in permanence. It's a temporary status. Rabati bagoyim, sariti bamidinot. So that it was great amongst the nations. I ruled over the other, you know, over the other states. Amravam Rabbi Yochanan komakom shehinochim nasim sarim adonayem. What does it mean? Rabati bagoyim, sariti bamidinot. It means everywhere the Jews go, they become leaders in the respective countries, the respective areas they go. The Tanur Rabbanan Maseh b'Shnei Bnei Adam Shnishbu b'Har HaKarmel. Two people that were taken captive in Har HaKarmel, up by Haifa, v'ayu shavai malei chachrayem. Their captor was coming after them, was, you know, leading them, these captives, and taking them along, and then he overhears a conversation between the two Jews. Amalei achad me'em l'chaveiro. Two Jews are walking, one says to the other Jew, gamal shemalecha lefaneinu, suma b'achad me'ne'ah. The gamal, the camel that's walking in front of us, is blind in one eye. It has two flasks on it. One of them contains wine, and one of them contains oil. And the two people that are driving this gamal, one of them is a Jew, and one of them is a non-Jew. Amar lehem shavai, the captor says to them, Am tshoref, mi'ayin atem yudim. Says, you stubborn people, where do you know this from? How do you know all this information that you just said to your buddy? How do you know this? Samulo, I'll tell you. Gamal miasavim shilofanea mitzad shurue ochelet mitzad sheinu ochelet. A camel can only eat from the vegetation, its peripheral vision, on the side that it, where it can see. So he says, what I saw was that I saw that the gamal was only eating from one side of the road. It kept passing. Whenever it saw food, it would stop or turn to that side to eat, but only turn to one side and not the other side. It must be that the gamal is blind in one eye, because otherwise he would have turned to the other side. The fact that he didn't is indicative of the fact that only has one eye. And it's carrying two flasks, one of oil and one of shemen. How do I know this? Because they're both leaking a little bit. And I can see on the road when it's leaking, I can see the wine goes in and then is absorbed by the ground. Shel shemen mitavtef itzach, falls down and then it floats, meaning that it stays on top of the ground. It remains and is not absorbed into the ground easily. It floats on top of the ground. So I knew one of them was the yain, one was shemen, because of the properties of the liquids that were falling out of them. I know that because nachri nifne laderech. The non-Jew just goes to the bathroom, even the nifne baderech along the way, or Rashi on the side here, you can see perish anachri nifne baderech etzel b'amto. He did it next to his animal. That whenever he went wherever he wanted to go to the bathroom. Yisrael nifne letzadim. Yisrael went to the sides. He did it in a makom tzanua. He didn't do it in an open area. So I knew that one of them was a Jew because of his hitnagut b'tzniut. The other one was an achri because he was not b'naig im tzniut with that type of tzniut. So Radaf Achrayem, so he wanted to check if he was right. They overheard these two captives speaking. He asked them what the logic between his statement is. He gets the logic, then he goes, okay, he runs ahead. This captor runs ahead to see if it's true. Umatzak Yidivrahem. And it was exactly as he said. Bam Nashkama Roshem, he came back and kissed them on their heads. Vivian the Kid Beitan, he brings them to their house. Vasalem Sudag Dola, he made them a great meal. Vayomer Kid Lefnehem, and he was dancing in front of them. Vamar Baruch Shabachar B'Zerosh El Avraham. You know, blessed is the one who chose the descendants of Avraham, and gives them a portion of his chokhmah, which is actually the bracha. When you see a Talmud Chacham, when you see a wise person, it says, Ashana Tan Mechachmato, or Chalak Mechachmato. Hashem gave him his chachmato to an individual, to a human being. Everywhere they go, they become rulers over their masters. Upatran, he let them go, he freed them, they went home in peace. So here is a story of the fact that wherever they go, they become leaders or princes over those that are in the countries or the areas where they live because of their chokhmah that was given to them at Hashem. So the chokhmah can be used or channeled towards Torah, or the chokhmah can be channeled towards other areas. So when it's channeled to other areas, they become successful and they become leaders in their respective countries or communities. Right now, Bacho with a Vav,
It's not with a hey, b'chol tivke b'layla. What does it mean? B'chol tivke. Shtei b'chiyot alalo lama. Or lama. Why are there two cries over here? Amar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, echad al mikdash rishon, v'echad al mikdash sheni. It's for the two mikdashim that were going to be destroyed. It's b'chol tivke. What's b'layla? What does it mean at night? Al iske layla, because the issue is at night. Shnemar, v'adisa kol eida, v'inu et kolam, v'ivchu am alayla u. The nation, they all called out, they raised their voices, and they started to cry on that night. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Otol Laila, Leil Tisha B'Av, that night was the night of Tisha B'Av. Amar Laila, Kosh Baruch Hu, Shalatem Bechid, Demichia Shel Chinam. You cried unnecessarily. You cried for no reason. Ani Ekvelechem Bechad Torot. I'm going to make this night into a night of crying for generations. That's what it means. Bacho Tivke. It's a night that's seen many cries. A night that's seen a lot of crying on it. Anybody who cries at night is heard. During the day there is ambient noise that causes the crying not to be heard. Rashi claims that it was actually the sun cutting its way through the rakia that makes noise that blocks the ability for someone to hear another person. At night, when it's all quiet and a person cries, then others hear him. So it's over here that they call it, that we talk over here, that b'chotivke b'layla at night is because they're going to cry at night when others can hear them. That's light means because anybody who cries at night, the stars and the constellations cry with him. Because at night, anybody who hears another individual crying joins in with their crying. There was a case with a woman, Shechinato Shel Rabbi Gamliel, the neighbor of Rabbi Gamliel, Shemait Bino, her son passed away, Vaita Bocha Alav Balayla, she used to cry at nights over the loss of her son. Shama Rabbi Gamliel Kola, Gamliel heard her voice, Ubacha Kenegda. He cried with her, he cried alongside with her, he felt her pain because he heard her crying, he felt her pain, he cried also, Ad Shinishru Riseinav. So a literal sense would be until his eyelashes fell out. Rashi claims that the tears caused his eyelashes to be pressed down, that they weren't able to open up and be upright, that they're pressed down by the tears. The Machari Kirubo Tamidav, in the morning or later on, his students see this, Votsiyu Mishkunato. And they took him out of the, they took her out of this shkuna so she wouldn't cause her mother to be crying all night or every night. Vidim ata al lecheya. Says, the tear is on her cheek. Amar Rav, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kishashu bocha al bal ne'ureha. It's like equivalent of a woman who's crying over the loss of her young husband. It's a young woman who loses her young husband, like that type of cry. Shneamar, it says, Eli ki betula harugat chagurat sak al bal ne'ureha. Eli here is a lament, right? It's like a lament, ki betula chagurat sak, like a young woman who is in sackcloth al bal ne'ureha, the loss of her young husband. Hayu tzarei al rosh. Their oppressors were heads now. I mean, they became now the heads. They were victorious over the Jews. Am Rav, Am Rav Yochanan, kol mitzar lishon nasei rosh. Anybody who causes pain, right, or anguish to Bnei Israel becomes a leader, becomes a head. Shneamar, I don't probably shouldn't say Shneamar here, but it says, Kilo mu'af lasher mutzak. They would not grow weary. Anybody asher mutzak, those that are distressed, mutzak la, sorry, those that cause distress to her, ke'et harishon, like the first time. Now the first time here refers to the first time that Melech Ashur came to attack. So, Klo Mu'af, Lasher Mutzak. Shem did not, they were not wearied, those that were distressed in the first case. Hekel Artsa. He swiftly moved to the land. Artsa Zvulun, Vartsa Neftali, through Zvulun and Neftali. I'm sorry. Hekel Artsa Zvulun, Vartsa Neftali is, they were freed, they were let off, the hook. In that case. Bacharon, but the next time Melech Ashur comes, Hechbid Derech Hayam, he's gonna come heavily, with a heavy hand. Derech Hayam, through the oceans. Ve'ever Yardain, Galil Goyim. Eriyadain in the place of gathering of the Goyim. So here again, you see the term, lo mu'af l'shem mutzak. So Amar Rav, Amar Rav Yochanan, what does that mean? Kol mitzik l'Yisrael. And it caused distress to Israel, eino ayef, doesn't get tired. Shem gives them the strength to continue their work and to oppress them. And it says, lo aleichem kol ovrei darech. So it's actually a little further on in Echa. It says, lo aleichem, it should not come to you. Anybody who passes by, you say, don't let this happen to you, or this should never happen to you. about what happened to the people of Yerushalayim and to Yerushalayim. From here you see, or you learn out, that there's such a thing called kuvlana min haTorah. What does that mean, kuvlana? Rashi brings two interpretations down, both which have halachic implications. Rashi says, mikan kuvlana min haTorah, kshadam modiyad tzaro l'acher. Person tells about his pain or his anguish to others, tzarich le'omar, should say to him, lo tavo zot l'cha k'mo shebai lai. This should not be happened to you like it happened to me. It's almost like, though, we did say, bli ayin hara, or that it shouldn't be, it should be a cause, right? Rechmana litzlan, right? That it should be something where you say something, it protects the individual who you're speaking to, that they should not be subjected to the same tsar. And what's the problem? Why do you need that? Why do you need the Torah to be matir that? So Rashi says that this is, v'makpid al kach ein b'shum nichush. Someone is makpid to say this, it's not a problem of nichush, right? Of superstition. Because right? You would think that the person saying this is only to protect against the superstition. If I say something bad, it's going to come out to the other person. So we say, no, you're allowed to say that. That's permitted, and it's not classified as a nichush. It's very important. So Rashi says, that's not classified as being superstitious. The other possibility Rashi gives is, kuvlana means make announcement. You have to tell. When you're in pain, you got to tell others about it. So that's also halacha, which we have. A person who's sick the first day shouldn't say anything. When he's sick on the second, third day, then he should announce it in shul. They should make it public so others can ask for rachamim. So others can daven on his behalf. So when a person is in tzar and they need to be help, right, they should call, they should make public their issues so others can daven and ask for rachamim on their behalf. So again, that's another halacha in terms of when a person is sick, when to announce that they're sick, or when a person needs rachamim from Hashem, that maybe making it public makes others come on his behalf, from daven on his behalf to help him out. So these are two halachot that are learned from this idea that mikan the kuvlana min haTorah. Kol ovrei derech, what does it mean in kol ovrei derech? Amram raveva suni kovrei al dat. They may be like those, or equated me with those that had violated the word of Hashem, which is who? That's calling about Stom v'amora. Deal of a Stom k'tiv, it says in Stom, Hashem imtir al Stom. Right, by Stom it says that Hashem brought down the barad min Hashemayim to destroy Stom. He himself did. Avilu v'shalayim k'tiv, mimaron shalach esh bat mutai v'yirdena. Whereas by Yerushalayim it says that Hashem sent down a fire from above. They sent down the fire. Bats mutai in my innards, be your dena, and overcame me, or overcame them. Uchtiv, it says, Vegdalavon batami. The sin of my nation was so great, mechatat Stom. From the sin of Stom. So you see over here, there's an equation between Stom, the Yerushalayim, and the fact that they were both destroyed by Hashem. In one case, he sent down the fire. In the other case, he sent Eshim Barad on Sodom. So it says, Ovrei Derech means that you made me like those that were over that. You made me like Stom Vamora, and you caused me the destruction over me, like that was done, that which was done to Stom Vamora. Now, Ktiv, it says also another pasuk, Vegdalavon bat ami mechatat Stom. In Echa, again, later in the first parak, it says that the sin of my nation was so great, it was like the sins of Stom. So Gemara says, Masmo panim yesh badavar? Is there favoritism over here? So what does that mean? Amar Rav Amram Yochanan Midah Yitara Aitab Yerushalayim. There was a, Yerushalayim had something beyond Stom. Shalom Aitab is Stom. That wasn't in Stom. Now what it means that they had something beyond Stom, it could be the positive, or it could be in the negative. Could be in the positive. B'dil b'Stom k'di b'ayipah b'Stom. It says, Inez Ayavon Stom Achotech. This is the sin of Stom Achotech. Gaon Sivat Lechem. They were full and satiated and well. They took gava and the fact that they were satisfied. V'yad ani v'evyon lo yechzika. They didn't take care of the poor. They didn't do chesed. So that's one. And then our pasuk says by Yerushalayim, Yerushalayim tev yedei nashim rachmaniyot bishlu yodehem. The hands of women who were merciful cooked their children. All right. So now on the positive side, let's say, why was Yerushalayim not destroyed like Stom v'Amora? If they were like the Chatat of Stom v'Amora, how come Stom v'Amora don't exist anymore? They were flipped over, you know, the cities, not only were the people destroyed, the entire cities were destroyed. If Yerushalayim was as bad as Stom, why were only the people destroyed and not the city itself? Why wasn't there much more destruction in the city of Yerushalayim? Where it says, Dechim Masopanim, Hashem has favorites, so he keeps Yerushalayim, doesn't keep Stom v'Amora. So where does it know? That Yerushalayim had something that over that of Stom v'Amora. So people will say from the positive side, what do they have that was over Stom? Is that by Stom, it says that they didn't take care of the Amani Ve'evyon. They didn't take care of the poor.
Even though they were given much or plenty, they didn't take care of the poor. Yet in Yerushalayim it says, Yidei Nashim Rachmaniyot, describes the women as Rachmaniyot. These were merciful women. These were people who took care of their neighbors in the past. When they had what to give, they did take care of others. So these are Nashim Rachmaniyot. So therefore, that was what protected them. That's what we say, also, a chesed can protect the individual. But here, the chesed they did in Yerushalayim, that they were Rachmanim, that's what protected Yerushalayim from the same outcome as Sodom and Gomorrah. Could be on the negative side. That Rashi brings down also the other interpretation is that the Peronut of Yerushalayim, right, was much worse than that of Sodom v'Amorah. By Sodom v'Amorah, they were satisfied. I mean, Hashem gave them plenty. They ate well, and that they weren't short of food. Yet in Yerushalayim, there was a greater pressure. It was what? Yidei Nashim Nachriot Achlu B'nayim. They ate their children. There was no, they were starving. Right, they were under siege and they were starving. So their punishment was worse. You're asking, well, if they were as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah, how come they weren't punished like they were? They had, in Sodom and Gomorrah, they destroyed the whole city, but they didn't have the suffering of starvation. Yerushalayim, Hashem didn't destroy the city, but the people suffered greatly from the starvation that was from the siege. So that's from the negative side. Right, Sila kol abirai, Hashem bikirbi. So that's, again, later in the first parak. It says that I was trampled, my heroes or my great ones were trampled by Hashem, Bikirbi, amongst me. Those that were in my midst, they were trampled by Hashem. Kadam shemer lechaviro, nifsala mit be'azu. It's like a person says to his friend, this coin is no longer in circulation. So it's over here when we say, Hashem destroyed his, you know, those that were his strong men, those that were his heroes, he destroys them. It's as if he's saying, Pasul mit be'azu. It's as if this coin is no longer currency. This is no longer of any value to me. Patsu alayach p'em. They open their mouths against you, the enemy. Amar Rav Amar Rabbi Yochanan b'shvo mahiktim pe la'ayin. Why does in Sefer Echaz written in Aleph-Bet sequence, and in those prakim, out of the five prakim, three of those prakim, that's Bet, Gimel, and Dalet, Perak Bet, Perak Gimel, and Perak Dalet, have, they're done, again, all of the Aleph-Bet, but there's one that's out of order. Instead of having Samech, Ayin, Pei in the order of the Psukim that start, it does Samech, Pei, Ayin. It reverses the Pei and the Ayin. Why in those three Parkim are the Pei and the Ayin reversed? Why are they out of order? So that's the Gemara says, Bishvil Meraglim, Shamru Bifihem, Mashlaru Bineihem. Because Meraglim spoke about items that they did not see with their own eyes. And they made up things. Because they made up things, right, the Peh, from the Peh, from the word Peh, from Ayin, went before the eye. The mouth went before the eye, before what they should have seen. They were eating up my people as if they were eating bread. Hashem lo karou. They do not call to, they do not call out to Hashem. Anybody eats from the bread of Israel, toim tam lechem. Then he really tastes bread. The one who doesn't taste the bread of the Jews is not, is as if he didn't taste bread. Now what we're talking about here is that if they take away, they steal from the Jews or they enslave them that to get their food, then it tastes good. But if they don't do that, then it won't taste good. I mean that the shef or the bracha comes through Klal Yisrael. And therefore the stealing from Klal Yisrael is what makes them happy and gives them that benefit. The Gemara continues, Hashem lo karou. They did not call out to Hashem. So now, Hashem lo karou, Rav amar ilu adayanim. Shmuel amar ilu melamdei tinokot. These are those that teach tinokot. So in the pasuk, the pasuk pshat in the pasuk is, Achlu ami, achlu lechem. They ate my nation like they ate bread. Hashem lo karou. They didn't call out to Hashem. So over there, the Hashem lo karou is probably referring to the subject, the beginning of the pasuk, which is those that came to attack. Hashem lo karou. They don't call out to Hashem. They don't realize that it's Hashem who's doing this. On the other hand, the Gemara here is, they're saying, is, why is this happening? Because Hashem lo karou. Because they did not call out to Hashem. What does it mean they didn't call out to Hashem? So either it's Dayanim. The Dayanim should, who? Were Matem Mishpat. Right? They caused, they perverted justice, they perverted the din. And because of that, Hashem lo karou. Right? That they, since they didn't heed the ways of Hashem, therefore they were punished with being eaten like bread. The other passage is Malamed, Malamedei Tinokot. Malamed the Rashi says, Shosim Lachtam Rimiya. That they made their business into a trickery. They don't really teach. They don't really do it well. Whatever it was that they were doing that was wrong, that's what caused the fact that they were eaten like bread. Mi manan. Who counted? Who counted the fact that there are this many kings that don't get Olam Haba and this many Hedyodot that don't get Olam Haba? Who made this count? Amar Ravashi, Anshei Knesset Gadol Manunum. Anshei Knesset Gadol were the ones who made this list. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Marab, Bikshu Od Limnot Echad. They wanted to add one more person to the list who was not Ben Olam Abba, and that was Shlomo HaMelech. So when they went to do this, what happens? Ba Demut Yonko Shel Aviv. An image of his father came, Vinishkacha Lifneim, and he prostrates himself in front of them, Lo Ishkichu Ala, and they didn't listen to him. David comes to beg for mercy from the Anshei Knesset Gedolah that they won't include his son Shlomo amongst those that don't get Olam Abba. Ba Eish Min Hashamayim V'lechaka Eish B'saf Saleihem. And so then, after this, a fire comes down from heaven and singes the benches that they're on as a siman that they were doing the wrong thing. They shouldn't be attacking Shlomo. V'lo Ishkichu Ala, they didn't listen to it. Yitzabat kol v'amra lahem. Then a voice, heavenly voice came out and said to them, Chazita ish meir b'mlachto. See a man who's good at his work, he's good as a miktsoa. Bifnei melachim yitzav. He should stand before our kings. And then he should do what he's doing before a king. Bal yitzav lifnei asuchim. But he should not be doing his work or doing what he is doing. Lifnei chas... I'm sorry, hashuchim. Thank you very much. Hashuchim. Those that are choshech. Those three in front of those that are dark or evil. So that's what Hashem says. Mish yikdim beiti lebeito, the one who built my house before he built his house, the Mikdash before he built the palace. Velo o elish beiti bana b'shem shanim. My house, he did it faster. It had 7 years. Beito bana b'shlosh shanim, but his own house took 13 years to build. Lifnei melachim yitzav, he should stand before kings. I mean, he should be in Gan Eden. Ba yitzav lifnei chashuchim, he should not be in front of those that are darkened. Velo ishkiach alea, they do not listen to the batko. Yeah, it's a bad call. One more time, the voice comes out, heavenly voice comes out. V'amra, Hameimecha Yishalemena Ki Ma'asta Ki Ata Tivchar V'lo Ani. So what it says is these are all rhetorical questions. Hameimecha Yishalemena, you should be able to give me, or you should have be able to question whether I have permission to punish Ki Ma'asta, that you rejected it. Right? How could you reject it, assuming that you had the right? Are you the ones who give out punishment or meet punishment? That you should choose and not me? I mean, punishment is the realm of God. Why are you, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, determining whether he has Olam Haba or not Olam Haba? I'll make that determination. I've made that determination. You know what? He does have Olam Haba, and so why are you arguing with me? And that was the winning line or the winning part of the case. And therefore, Shlomo HaMelech was not included in the list of the melachim that ain't lam chelik lam haba. Dorshei rishumot ha'yu omrim. Those that are doresh, the Torah, right, they used to say, kulam bayin le'olam haba. All or everyone comes to olam haba, and that includes the individuals that we mentioned in our Mishnah. How do I know this? Shneamar, the pasuk says, li gilad, v'li menashe, gilad menashe belong to me. V'Ephraim ma'oz roshi, and Ephraim was the stronghold of my head or my leadership. Yehuda is my lawgiver. Moav siroktzi. Moav is the basin that I wash in. Al Edom eshlich nali. Alay fleshet hiroai. On me, the plishtim, or they will shout victoriously, the plishtim. So now the Gemara is going to go back and dissect the pasuk. Li gilad. Who is li gilad mean that gilad belongs to me, Hashem says? Ze achav. This refers to Achav, Shnafal Beramot Gilad. He dies in the battle with Ashur. He dies in Ramot Gilad. Minashe. So it's Li Gilad, Li Minashe. Minashe is Kimnashmao, like the king Minashe. Our Mishnah says there's an Olam Haba. Here it says Li Minashe. Minashe belongs to me, and he will be in Olam Haba. Ephraim Oz Rashi. Ephraim is the strength of my head. Zeiravam, the Katim Ephraim. Because Yeravam comes from a place, comes from Har Ephraim. Since it comes from Har Ephraim, when it says that Ephraim is Oz Rashi, Ephraim, or the one who came from Ephraim, will get Olam Haba, and that is Yeravam. Yehuda Mechokike, Yehuda is my scribe, or is my lawgiver. So here is the Achitofel. This refers to Achitofel. Tekatim Yehuda. He's a descendant of Yehuda. So Achitofel is a descendant of Yehuda, because David Amel Chosim Alufi, Miyuadai, someone that was Miyuad, that someone was close to him, a relative of his. So therefore, he's from Shevet Yehuda. Moav, Sir Rachatzi, Moab is like the basin of my washing. Ze Gechazi. This refers to Gechazi as one of the individuals that doesn't get Olam Haba. Why? Because Shalakal, he's gave Rechitza, and he was punished because of something about water. I mean, when Naaman comes to Elisha to be cured, he goes to swim in the Yarden to get cured. And on that's when when Gechazi performs or initiates his crime in order to get the money back from Naaman after Elisha tells him to go home without paying him anything. Al Adom, Ashlich Nali, on Adom I'll throw my shoe. Zude Doed Adomi, this refers to Doed Adomi. Alai Pleshe Atit Roai, the Plishtim were screaming out in victory. Amru Malachai Shere, the Fnei Baruch Hashalom, Im Yavo David, Shragat the Plishti. If David would show up now, today, if he came back to life today, he would one who killed the Plishti, right? Vorish et Banecha, and he inherited Gat, or the area of the Plishtim for the Jews. What would you do with him? I mean, David HaMelech expects to be king, expects to be the ruler, and here you have all these other promises that you have to keep. So what are you going to do with him? It says, Amar lehen, alai, lasot re'im, zilazeh. It's up to me to reconcile between them. I mean, that in Elchanami, if David comes, he's going to be granted a power, he's going to be granted to be the king, he's going to get zfuyot. It'll be in competition with someone who's already there, is being provided. It says that Hashem says, I'll have to deal with that. That's my problem, how to reconcile the individuals. The fact is that they all are, in this case, Ra'uy, the Olam Ha-Ba. And based on that, the Rosh Hashimot say that our list of the Mishnah is incorrect and that everybody gets Olam Ha-Ba. There's no one excluded because this inclusive pasuk over here of Li Ephraim, the Li Menashe. So therefore, they're all included in Olam Ha-Ba. And again, that the last line there is the about David HaMelech. David HaMelech was to return today, what would be his standing? Hashem said he would be in the same standing as he was before. That would not be competitive or a problem for those that are here already because of the fact that Hashem will ensure that they are reconciled. All right, we'll stop over here.